This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 52. The other day, Lord help me, my daughter shaved a chunk out of her eyebrow. This is the Single Mom Success Podcast. Our mission is to help single moms find advice, support, ideas, and hopefully some humor along the way to help them navigate through this crazy single parenting gig and build the most amazing lives for themselves and their children. Please be sure to stop by thesinglemomblog.com for more great articles, free downloads, giveaways, and more. Now, let's dive in. Hey guys, and welcome to today's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you're doing fantastically. So it's been quite a while since my last podcast. So life got stupid crazy. And I had a million things going on, a million things up in the air. There was a bunch going on in my personal life. There was a bunch of stuff going on politically wise. There was a bunch of stuff going on with my kids. And we have, it's just been madness. And there's been so much stuff going on in my personal life that has inspired a lot of negativity. And I actually have recorded probably about 5 or 6 different podcasts since the last one that I published. However, upon reflecting on those podcasts and going back and doing my spot check and editing and, you know, getting out all of the dogs barking in the background or the phone ringing when it's not supposed to, or the kids coming in while I'm trying to do what I do, I found in listening to these podcasts that a lot of the stuff that was going on in my personal life and in the world was really reflecting in my podcast, and they were all very they were very negative or uninspirational. They weren't motivational. And, you know, I'm not saying that every podcast I do is going to be super happy peppy, but I do, you know, I try really hard not to go off on too many political tangents or rants. And I was finding that that was happening pretty frequently on some of the podcasts that I was doing. So that was not fabulous. Because, as you know, I'm very particular about my feelings when it comes to our current administration. We'll just leave it at that. That's probably the nicest way that I could put that. And, you know, of course I have issues and things that were going on with my ex and my kid's dad and family. And so there's just a lot of things that were causing my podcasts to just really not have the right tone for me. And I don't want to put something out there that I don't like, or that I go back and listen to and go, God, you know, I sound like I'm really unhappy or miserable or, you know, anything like that. And again, there are going to be times when I do podcasts and I'm not happy and there's not rainbows and sunshine coming out my ears. But I don't want that to be the consistent podcast. I don't want to be that. So I think it was just better for me to not put it out there. And I know that, you know, radio silence is not great. It doesn't bear always well for a podcast, but I would much rather have the radio silence than content that I'm not okay with and that I'm not happy with. So that's, you know, a big reason for what's going on. And I would love to say, you know, hey, yeah, I'm going to go back and everything's going to be, I'm going to send a podcast out every week. But God, life is so hectic. I'm hoping next year my boys are seniors. Next year, my boys are seniors, and I'm hoping that when I don't have quite as many children, so, you know, or in their senior year, that maybe life will get a little less hectic. I think I'm deluding myself in that thought. But I'm hoping. because I've seen a lot of my boys' friends, the senior moms, and they all seem very kind of ragged of like a million things that have to be done before their kid graduates. So we'll see. Yeah, so we've had all of that going on. I've had neuropsych evaluations for both boys going on, and the evaluations and the review of all that, and then going over and dealing with the ramifications of how their tests turned out and what that means for their future life as adults and how we need to accommodate for my other son as he grows up and becomes an adult and the various services that we need to look into and things that we need to find for him and resources and power of attorney and all sorts of things that are just going on right now that, it's just overwhelming. Unfortunately, there has been a little bit of radio silence. I am back. Today is the first podcast for the month of May, and we're going to dive right in. So today's podcast is actually about something that I stumbled across today. I was super excited about it. I don't know if any of you know who Maya Bialik is, and I think I'm saying her last name wrong, and if I am, I'm so sorry. Not that she's listening to my podcast, but, you know, things could happen. I know her more for her role as Blossom from the 90s, early 90s, when she was on a TV show called Blossom. And if you're my age or even older or around my age range, you'll remember that show, maybe. You know, my biggest memory is of the opening credits where she's dancing and she's got big hats on and or different hats and tights. And I think she had an outfit with suspenders on. So that's my biggest memory of her growing up. She is, of course, also on the show The Big Bang Theory, and she is Sheldon's love interest. And unfortunately, you know, I have not ever fully gotten into The Big Bang Theory. I've watched it sporadically. I'm not a huge, like, diehard fan where I have to watch all the episodes, or I've watched all the episodes. I think I've watched, like, a dozen, which is lame, of course, I know, but I do love the show. But she is very famous for that and her role as Sheldon's girlfriend in there. But what a lot of people don't always necessarily know is that she is also, she plays a scientist on the show, but she's actually a scientist in real life. She has a degree in neuroscience, which is the science of the brain, which is cool. And I really love, because it's something that's very interesting to me, having a child with a brain injury, or two children rather, with brain injuries. So, I've always thought that was really cool. So she stopped doing the show at 19 and went to college and got her degree. And in that, she also, I think she got married while she was in college, or maybe before. I don't know the specific chronological order of everything, but I do know she also had two children. I do believe she is now divorced, or she did get divorced. So at some point, she's also doing this rocking the single mom thing, I believe, as well. And if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I'm fairly certain, because I remember a video that she did about her divorce and, you know, how that affected her and her family. But anyway, so I've always really liked her. I always thought she was really cool. I thought it was really amazing when I found out she was on The Big Bang Theory, and then I looked into her and found out more information about her and found out that she is a neuroscientist, and so yeah, just the fact that she's so well-rounded and she's done so much, really, really, really cool to me. But she also is a feminist, and she is, so there's a lot about her that I really enjoy. And I found out recently, just today actually, that she has written a book called Girling Up, How to Be Strong, Smart, and Spectacular, which I love. I love that. And it's got, it's basically a book kind of, you know, helping children or girls kind of get an idea of, you know, get a better sense of themselves, their body itself, how it works, how it comes about, you know, all the various different fun things that we as women end up having to go through. And then all sorts of other parts. So it's got six chapters. It's how our bodies work, how we grow, how we learn, how we love, how we cope, and how we matter. And just the names of the chapters, I really enjoy, especially the How We Matter one at the end. But it goes through so many different really great things about how our bodies work, you know, the things that our bodies go through just from when we're born and how we become girls and how girls differ from guys at a biological chromosome level, right? So it's got some really great science in it. And then it goes into, like, you know, puberty and what happens to our bodies during puberty and you know, what about boobs and why do guys, you know, why are guys fascinated with them and why do they look at them and, you know, your genitalia and what it looks like, your internal, you know, organs and the uterus and, you know, diagrams. It's very sciencey in that aspect. And I think that that's really important for me, especially for my daughter too, because one of the things that I think is very important to me, or I know is very important to me, is as uncomfortable as the conversations can be, it's also very important, I think, for my daughter to know her own body and feel comfortable about it and understand that a body is a body, right? My body is my body, and it's very important. It's very sacred. It's mine. It's something that only those who have permission are allowed to touch or invade or come near. And it's something that I'm very comfortable with, right? And I want her to feel that as well. I want her to feel very secure. And it's super hard right now, and especially in this day and age, because there's so much outside social pressure and there's so much outside influence. I'll give you an example of, and just things that I think that we're starting to deal with now with my daughter, because she is, you know, she just turned 10. And so she's got a lot of outside influence coming in, telling her what she should and shouldn't look like. You know, she has a certain member of her family, I'm not going to say who, but a certain family member told her that she was getting fat, which was really not okay. She's 10, and she's not overly obese. She does have a little bit of chunk on her, but not to the point that it's unhealthy and that it's not acceptable. Here's the other thing. You know, she's getting, during the summer, this is kind of how my daughter fluctuates. During the winter, she gains more weight because she's not as active. She's not going outside. She's not riding her bike. She's not going to the pool. She's not walking. She's not riding, you know, playing outside with friends. She's not gardening. She's not outside with the dogs. She's not as active in the winter as she is in the summer. So she typically gains a little bit of weight during the winter. I do too. I gain weight a lot of times of the year. So I would like to say it's only in winter, but I'm not as active as I should be, but I digress. So she's not as active. Now, when summer rolls around, she's riding her bike. She's riding her scooter. She's playing outside. She's jumping rope. She's helping in the garden. She's playing with the dogs. She's walking the dogs. She is at the pool constantly when she's with her dad and hanging out with her friends. She goes roller skating more often. She's doing more things outside. And so she's expending a lot more energy. And so she slims down over the summer. Always. So, but that comment just made her feel like she worries. She's like, I don't know that I should because blah, 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 I'm gaining weight. And, you know, so-and-so said I was getting fat. Totally not cool, right? The other day, Lord help me, my daughter shaved a chunk out of her eyebrow. Oh, and it's grown back and everything's fine and she's good now, but she came out of the shower and she had her face covered and I said, what are you doing? She goes, well, I'm afraid to show you. I said, well, why? And she goes, because I'm afraid you're going to be mad at me. I said, well, you can't walk around with a towel over your face for, you know, the rest of your life. So, you know, let's have it. Let's see. And she showed me and there was a big chunk missing out of her eyebrow. I said, honey, what happened? She's like, well, I saw this video on YouTube about how to make your eyebrows on fleek. Now, I'm going to stop right here and just have a little sort of sidebar on how much I hate the word fleek. I do not understand this word. I'm like, what does on fleek mean? And she said, well, it means on point. I said, then why the hell don't they say on point? Why you gotta make up a new word for words that already exist? Just say on point. I don't like this word. I think it's a dumb word. It doesn't have anything to do. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. It doesn't even have any relation to the words on point. It's just on fleek, fleek. What the frick is fleek? Okay? I think it's dumb and it's stupid and I hate this word. Now, that being said, I'll step off my soapbox. So she said, I saw this video on how to do that. And they said for you to shave, you know, your unibrow. And I said, all right, so stop right there. So first of all, A, you've been told repeatedly not to touch my razor for these kinds of reasons. The last time you were little and you touched my razor, you shaved a chunk of your thumb off, like it was bleeding, right? So you're not supposed to touch my razor. Second of all, you don't have a unibrow. You don't have one at all, okay? Third, if you are going to do anything to your face, I highly recommend having a mirror in front of you when you do it. So she, we don't have a mirror in my shower, and she was in the shower and she did it. So she was just doing it from feels and having never done it before, shaved off part of like the middle of her eyebrow. And, you know, so this brought up, you know, a whole other conversation about, you know, being accepting of yourself, not listening to social pressure on what you should or should not look like. The fact that at 9 years old, almost 10, she didn't need to do those things. There was no reason for her to be worried about whether her eyebrows looked good or not. They were fine, right? But I get so concerned because this is how all of those stupid things happen. Like, I told her, I said, here's my biggest issue is that you could have seriously hurt yourself. You could have shaved a chunk out of your forehead because you weren't watching what you were doing in a mirror and you've never done it before. So you need to make sure that when you start talking about things like this, when these types of things start becoming important to you, you need to talk to me. And if it's something that I feel you do need, like for example, when it's time to start shaving your legs, I can help you. I can walk you through it. Don't wing it like I did and shave a huge... I mean, ladies out there, when you learned how to shave your legs, right? If you didn't have proper instruction, you just sort of started deciding it was going to happen and you just did it without knowing what the heck you were doing. Like, how many of you shaved like that accordion chunk of skin off of your... Like, you ended up... It was like accordioned in the razor, right? Because you shaved this huge chunk and slice of skin off of your leg, usually right around your ankle, right? You know what I'm talking about. I had scars for the longest time. I had a scar on my ankle because I gouged the hell out of myself because I didn't know what I was doing, you know? So I'm like, you know, I really wish and I want you to talk to me and I want you to feel like you can come to me and not be embarrassed. And so I think that something like this, you know, books like this and information like this and having this open dialogue with your child of, you know, your body is not something to be ashamed of. Your body is your body. And everybody's got the same, you know, all the women, we all have the same parts, right? And we have all the same things. And, you know, we're going to look different in certain aspects. Some will have bigger boobs. Some will have bigger butts. Some will have bigger hips. You know, some people have more hair down there than other people do, right? Like, it's just the way of the world. It's a natural thing. And I don't want her to feel, you know, worried about that, right? I don't want her to feel that there's anything wrong with it. You know, pretty soon I've got friends who have... kids the same age or around the age of my daughter who they're starting their period. And I'm like, God, like, I don't remember starting this early. I think it was like 12 when I started mine, but it's coming up close, right? And I want her to feel comfortable talking to me. I want her to come to me. I want her to be able to talk with me about things like that and not be embarrassed by it, right? Because I was embarrassed as shit when I got mine. Didn't help that I had my dad there. I'm like, I was being raised by a single dad. So that was an even harder conversation. But my dad, God, give him kudos because he made it out to be not a big deal. Like, it wasn't a big deal. He had the conversation with me. He sat down and explained it to me. He talked to me about, you know, buying pads and what I needed to do. And he kind of walked me through it. And it couldn't have been the most comfortable of conversations for him. But he did it like a champ and he was great about it. He even talked about it. He's like, you might have boys giving you, like, guys might tease you about how you're on the rag or this or that. You may have accidents that you need to come home, you know, let me know. You might have cramps, you know. And he was really, really cool about the whole thing. He was super awesome. And that's a very, like, I don't want to say fond because it's not necessarily if I don't look back on it and go, oh, you know, but it's one of the cooler memories of my dad because I sit back and go, my dad was really cool as shit that day. Like I loved that he did that for me and didn't make me feel awkward. He did his best to make me not embarrassed, you know, and that was really important for me. And I grew up and that's always sort of one of the highlights of my memory of my childhood. So this book I think is super good. It goes into talking about your period and talking about the, you know, tracking of your periods and when you have them and when you don't and, you know, how hormones affect you and all sorts. So it really goes into like the science-y part of your body, right? And then it talks about things like, you know, taking care of yourself, right? Doing things to take really good care of yourself. How can you care for yourself? What are really good things to do for yourself? As far as taking care of yourself, eating well, making sure you're caring for your body, and all sorts of things. And then I think, you know, I haven't bought the book, but I definitely am going to. I'm just looking at the sort of the preview on Amazon. But then it goes into things like, you know, just talking about, you know, growing up and the, you know, loving, you know, relationships and just a lot of the things that we go through as we grow up. And having a book like this out there that its intent is to really make sure that girls know that they are super powerful, right? Like growing up and being absolutely awesome and spectacular, like this book talks about, it's so hard nowadays for kids to grow up and really recognize, especially girls, recognize the power that they truly have and how important and how special and how amazing they are, because they grow up in a world that spends its time telling them what's wrong with them, right? The beauty industry has made billions and billions and trillions of dollars telling women what's wrong with them and how to fix it, right? My daughter is shaving chunks out of her eyebrow because she sees something on YouTube saying that you have to have eyebrows that look like this, right? And it scares me because then it leads to stupid things like, you know, challenges. What was it, that one? I did a blog post about it a long time ago about the Kylie Jenner lip challenge where people were like sucking their lips into like cups or tubes or lids of and doing damage to their lips, just trying to make their lips all swollen and puffy, and they look like little blowfish kissy fish, right? And they were hurting themselves. It was stupid. It was dumb. It was the dumbest thing I had ever seen, you know? And so I tell my daughter all the time, I'm like, listen, when you see stuff like that, recognize that it's stupid, okay? There is no reason that your lips need to look like that, right? They don't. That's why, you know, women get plastic surgery and boob jobs. And if you get them, then great. If they make you feel good about yourself, fine. I'm not one to tell people not to do things that make them feel good about themselves. But don't do it because you think you have to in order for other people to like you, right? That's the thing. If you're doing it for you because you really want it and it makes you feel good, great, by all means. But my daughter shaved a chunk of her eyebrow out thinking that's how my eyebrows are supposed to look. And who do you do that for? Who? Right? Like, you're a 10. Who are you doing that for? You're not doing it for anybody. You're doing it because somebody on YouTube said that that's what you're supposed to do to meet some standard. And I find that so infuriating and so frustrating. So anytime I see books or information or TV series or toys, you know, that really promote intelligence and, you know, learning about yourself, being accepting of who you are, and just really building your own self-worth and self-belief and knowledge of who you are, and just being solid in the knowledge of, yeah, I don't look like that, but I'm totally cool with how I look, right? I don't dress like that. I like how I dress. I don't feel I need to change the way I look in order to make you people happy, because I'm happy with how I look and how I feel in my own skin, right? And only do the things that actually make you happy, not because someone says this is what the standard is, right? I hate that. So when I see things like Mayim's book, I love it and I will promote the hell out of it, because I think it is so important that girls grow up feeling secure in who they are and the way they look and the way they feel, and building that, really building that strong core, so that when they go out into the world that is set up to tell women, you look wrong unless you look like this. I don't want that for my daughter. So I am super psyched. I'm actually going to buy this book and read it, and then, you know, let my daughter read it as I feel is appropriate. Because I do know that there's some passages in here that, you know, talk about the body, but there's also other parts, you know, talk about sexuality and masturbation and things like that. And while those are all other things that I'm totally fine with my daughter knowing about, I think a little bit older. but I like that this book exists, and I think that it's super important, and I enjoy that it was put out there, especially by someone like Mayim Bialik, who I think is just very, very well-centered and well-spoken, and has just done a great job, like, with, I mean, putting herself out there and putting something like this out there, that, and her purpose, her intent, and what she really wants to do is empower young girls. And I think that something like this is, I love it, you know? So I am definitely getting the book. And if you are so inclined, you know, by all means, if you have a young girl that you're, you know, I recommend doing research, always research. 'Cause like I said, some people, you know, their belief structure is different than mine. I'm not going to say that this is a be all end all for everybody, and everybody should out there with daughters should read it or let their kid read it. I'm huge about when you come across things like this, where it does have, you know, things like, you know, body parts and sexuality and things like it. Read it first. Make sure it's something that goes along with, you know, what you feel your child should be seeing and reading and knowing. Maybe only certain aspects of the book, you know, because it's, you know, not everybody is comfortable with that. And I understand that. But for me personally, I think that, you know, I want to send my daughter out in the world as empowered as she possibly can be. And so something like this, I think, is great. And it really, 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 it really hit home. And I love that she wrote this book. So I'm super excited about it. And if you have any tips on the whole growing up, I'm getting ready. I mean, she literally just turned 10, but I swear she's more of a tween slash teen at the age of 10 than I think I was. I think when I was 10, I was still really just, I, you know, didn't care about makeup, didn't care about boys, didn't care about, I was just still a real big tomboy. So I'm having some problems. I'm stumbling a little bit with the, you know, oh, I'm watching makeup tips, and I'm watching, I'm worried about how my eyebrows look, and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, the stepmom telling me, well, she said she wants makeup for her birthday. I'm like, well, the only makeup she can have is very, very light. I'm talking like lip gloss and really light blush and, you know, light. And she doesn't even need to wear it. I was like, I'm not really big on her having makeup. If she wants some makeup to play with, that's fine, but she doesn't need to be wearing makeup. You know, when she's asking me about foundation and stuff like that, I'm like, sweetheart, you are 10. You do not need any of that. You are absolutely beautiful right now. You don't need any of that. So the social pressure and the social, all the outside influence coming in, it's just insane to me. It's absolutely insane to me. And I'm not going to lie, I'm stumbling a bit because I just don't know how to deal with it, because I am not the girly girl. I wear makeup less often than not. You know, I barely wear jewelry. It's always a second thought. Maybe I'll put some earrings in, except for the ones that are always in my ears that never come out. You know, I'm more of a jeans and a t-shirt and tattoo kind of girl, not really the makeup and dresses and frou-frou. And so I'm struggling a little. So yeah, if you have any suggestions on how to handle the preteen, tween, whatever I'm in years, I will gladly take them. Because I don't know. You know, give me some boys and some football any day, right? The girl stuff I'm struggling with, so. I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope that it was helpful. If you are so inclined, I do recommend researching and taking a look at Mayim's book. It's called Girling Up, How to Be Strong, Smart, and Spectacular, and I think it's fabulous. And by all means, please go to the website, thesinglemomblog.com, for different articles. Not everything I do is podcast. I have other blog posts and things that are out there now. We're actually working on adding some new features to the site, some great stuff that's going to be available soon, things to, you know, free downloads, products that we recommend and we endorse, as well as things that you can buy that, you know, that I've created, coffee mugs and pillows and all, who knows, there's all sorts of tchotchkes that we're getting ready to launch, as well as free downloads and checklists and 30-day challenges. There's going to be a ton of stuff. So please visit the site. It'll be up there, you know, shortly. We'll have all this stuff and we're going to keep adding to it. Please go and check it out. And if you haven't followed us on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, I think those are the only ones I do because I think that's all I can handle. So I hope you are fantastic. Have a wonderful day as always, and take care of you and yours, and never forget how amazing you are. Take care. Thanks for joining me today for the Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it and that you found it inspirational in some way. Don't forget to visit thesinglemomblog.com for more of our podcasts, articles, downloads, and free giveaways. I hope that you have a fantastic day and never forget that you are amazing.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.